podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we have a fellow comic.
That's right.
A show producer. Improvisationalist. Did I say that right?
Improvisationalist.
Improvisationalist, yes. Also, a comedic writer.
Yeah.
And an actor.
Hopes to be.
He's an actor.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in the universe.
There you go.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Eric Simon.
Yay.
Yes.
Hey.
All right.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Where can they find you, Eric?
Oh. Just search Eric M. Simons. I got a website, ericmsimons.com. From there, you can find all my social medias, or if you just search for the social medias, eric.m.simons on Instagram, okay. Eric M. Simons YouTube, Eric M. Simons on TikTok. Those are my big ones.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So to the Midnight Paco Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, you see, you know, comedy, it means a lot of things to different people.
Right.
It's different to everybody. Some people do it for therapeutic reasons. Mm-hmm. Some people do it because it's in their blood. You know, it's there's something they always wanted to do. It's a bucket list thing, or they just want to try it out for fun, you know. But, you know, certain people you run into, they haven't been doing it long. Eric has been doing it for about a year and a half.
Correct.
This young. Dude, young in the game.
Young in the game, but he's been putting in the work, and that's why he's here.
Yes, right.
He's been grinding. Boots to the ground.
Yeah.
He used to have a vlog, a comedy vlog.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I started watching this guy. I'm going through his TikTok, and it's like.
Yeah, TikTok was always on.
He was like, day one, stand-up comedy. Day two, it went all the way to what? 200 and what?
200.
Yeah.
Day 200.
200.
This guy has been doing stand-up comedy for like 200 days, almost 200 days straight.
It's crazy. And then he stopped, so he still has more.
Yeah, he's still doing the comedy, but he just stopped vlogging it.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll get into that, but...
He's put on shows.
Yeah.
Putting on shows.
Midnight Paco has been on several of his shows.
Several, yeah.
In several locations.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been grinding, and that's why he's here, because he's grinding.
That's right.
You know, it's not that we... turn our nose up at young people in the game, but you know, this guy is grinding. He's proving himself. He's doing more work with the military. Used to say, we do more in
by 6 a.m. than you do all day, mofos.
Period. Grinder right here.
Grinding, y'all.
So what's going on, Eric? Like, what are you presently working on? What do you have going on right now?
Yeah.
Presently, a lot of the stuff that I've been working very hard on is getting more trained in improv. And doing improv shows on the last Saturday of every month, I do an improv show with a couple of my buddies at the Patina Arts Center.
Okay.
And we put on an hour and a half show of improv, doing short form games and doing a little more long form stuff. That's a lot of fun. Also, frequently at Crackpots, we do that same group, we do improv.
Shout out to Chris Kedler at Crackpots.
Yeah.
Shout out to Crackpots. What day is that?
Then, that one's a little less frequent or a little less regular.
Okay.
But yeah, the Patina one, like, guaranteed last Saturday. We're always doing it.
What is your role with the Canton Comedy Boom?
Friend of the Canton Comedy Boom. They let me put on shows there, or they let me put on the improv there with the guys, or they wanted improv, and so we put it on there. I'm friends with everybody that's involved in it, and I love working with them. We do a variety show as well, again, which has some improv and also sketches, so I get to get my sketch ideas out there too. And we just did one on Halloween night, and that was great. I had like a Halloween-y sketch nice. Thing.
Did you film it?
Did well. I did film it.
Can you post it?
I didn't post it. Yeah.
Why?
You
gotta edit it, or you just...
Yeah, I still have to edit it.
Okay.
It'll probably be ready for next Halloween.
Right.
Yeah, what the fudge?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's... So, like, basically, it's like... All right, so you like the comedy thing, you do the improv and thing. Like, okay, so what did you envision? Like, what did you envision Eric Simon doing? Like what? Tell if I can walk inside your brain, like, what were you saying? I'm gonna come out here and be a comedian. I'm gonna come out here and be a writer, or I'm gonna do something in this field, and I don't know exactly what I'm gonna do. I mean, just
good question.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll just talk about my genesis of doing creative stuff and then how I got here today, because that'll answer that.
Okay.
Because the best question I have is how you get into comedy. So I guess this will sum everything up.
Yeah. That's what you were asking too as well, right?
Well, like, well, what was you your intention?
Yeah, yeah.
My intention.
Yeah, because you do a lot. Intention.
Yeah, so.
You know, we do stand-up, we do a podcast, yes. He does movies.
I mean, we came in as stand-up, but we are friends, mm-hmm. and we do stand-up, so we said, hey, we might as well do a podcast.
Right.
So this was the progression. We started off as comedians, became podcasters, and then I got offered a role in a movie, so I did that. So it was a progression of, you know, events. You came in like, I got all these
ideas. I'm doing shows, I'm doing stand-up comedy, I'm doing improv.
So, but what was the initial, gravitated you towards any of this?
Yeah.
Go.
Great question. Yes. My highest aspiration is to write and act in comedy films and comedy TV shows.
Nice.
Which I've got a bunch of ideas. So everything else that I've done is pointing to that or leading up to that. Right. Like, okay. So the improv, like, I just wanted to get better at improv because I love those movies where you can tell they're a little off the cuff and ad-libbing. Will Ferrell and all of his movies and Danny McBride. I love that. I love Danny McBride.
Okay. The best thing about that, though, is throughout the scene, they're ad-libbing and then they can say cut.
Exactly. And then, you can do it again.
You know what I'm saying? That's the cool thing. So I get it.
You know what? And John Witherspoon said he never acted a day in his life.
No.
Yeah.
So he was being himself in every role.
That's what I'm doing.
Being yourself in every role?
I mean.
That's cool.
Even in the movie, I was myself in that character.
Yeah.
Rue?
Get it?
Maybe if I was high.
I get it.
I get it.
I had to play a character, but I'm still me playing that character. So I was trying to be me within that character.
Yeah.
I get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
I can only be that guy within my own character.
You were your perspective of through this guy's circumstance
absolutely.
That he's in.
Exactly. Yeah, but Eric, you know.
Go ahead. Continue.
That was really, that's really the short answer of it. Everything I'm doing, I want
to build up to do all
build that. Up to doing that. So,
but what was your initial? What was your, like? So, did you say, okay? Did you start writing things and doing improv, or because you've been doing comedy about a year and a half? So obviously that was new.
Yep.
So have you been doing improv since like high school or something? Or
I've been a filmmaker for. Since high school.
Okay, there you go.
And that's where it all started.
Okay.
This is the genesis side.
There we go. This is where we're digging.
Of the starting out.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was in high school, me and my friends would get together and make stupid short films for class. And then we'd do it for not class.
Right.
And I just really enjoyed coming up with the ideas for it, acting in them. And then I continued on even after college.
Where'd you go?
I went to Kent State.
Okay. Shout out to Kent State.
And I mean, as time has progressed, like, cameras have gotten so much better quality. We all know this. And
so, what'd you go to school for?
I went to school for advertising.
Okay. Yeah. I went for communications, media study. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking, hey, I'm creative, and maybe instead of taking the jump to make movies, maybe I'll just make commercials.
Okay. Right.
That was my thinking in college.
So, like, within your studies, did you take like production classes?
Yeah, yeah, okay. A couple.
Okay,
good. Had college radio for a little bit, so this kind of brings me back to it.
That's Black nice Squirrel Radio. See, the good thing is you're younger than me, and you got the chance, because in my classes, I did nothing with, like, my whole idea was to be in radio.
Oh, really?
But we did nothing with studio, but when I graduated, I guess they had a studio they worked at, so you got an opportunity to actually do things in your field and
mm-hmm.
work on it. Awesome. Okay.
Nice.
Yep.
So go ahead.
So, yes, I loved making films and everything. Then after college, continued with it. Always loved making short films, like submitting them to film festivals and stuff, putting them on YouTube. I mean, I just enjoyed just creating things.
Coming up with story
ideas and executing it, being in it, ad-libbing a little bit when I'm making that film.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I started making these short films. Then I also started making a series called Eric Leaves the House.
Hey.
Okay. So this was not narrative short comedy.
What was Eric Leaves the House?
Yeah.
What was Eric Leaves the House?
And hold on. Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, so tell us what that was about.
Eric Leaves the House. So, yeah, this was not like fictionalized stories like I was doing.
I like the story.
This is like...
I like that shit.
Yeah. This was like a docuseries.
Okay.
Me recording what I'm doing.
Okay.
And have you ever seen Conan O'Brien when he does those field segments where he goes out?
Yes.
He goes to Olive Garden, and it's him riffing with the Olive Garden people.
I used to be fucked up late nights and watching it, but go ahead.
Yeah. Or like he did one where he goes to the American Girl doll factory, and he's like goofing on the people that work at the American Girl doll. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. Just that field segment element of this person out experiencing something they've never done before.
Right.
Filming it, riffing, having fun with it. That's the wording I would always use. I would be like,
We're going to have links to all these in the description, people. Just so you know.
Yeah, I was like, I always wanted the people to know, I'm not making fun of you. I'm having fun with this circumstance.
Okay.
With me in this unfamiliar element.
So give us an example of one of your favorites.
One of my favorites, I worked behind a bar. I've never worked at a bar before. So this guy let me work at the bar. So I was asking all these newbie questions, like, how do I upsell people? And what should I do? How should I greet people? What do I do if somebody's like really down in the dumps? And the dude's just like, dude, just chill out. You're just working at a bar. And I was playing it up, just like goofing with it, like trying to be like Mr. like best bartender.
Yeah.
And he was totally the opposite. He was like, what is wrong with you?
He
was not like,
you're at Chuck's, dog. What are we talking about? And just serve a beer and a fucking shot.
Yeah. And it was funny too. Like, this guy didn't know me that well. I had a friend that was like, yeah, I know a guy that owns a bar. Sure. The guy was just like, sure, you could shoot. And like, he did not like me. He didn't really understand what we were doing. It was just like, what is this guy? Like, what is up with him? And I'm like, I want to be a bartender. He's like, okay. That was his face the whole time.
A little less assertive. Okay. So,
what can I do for you?
Hey, man, welcome to the bar. Should I say welcome or should I be like, I don't care if you stay or go?
Nice to see you. What's going on?
Oh, nice to see you. That's a good one. So what about nuts? Should I, when somebody comes down, you know, to get the drink, should I be like, hey, let me nut you up, my brother? Is it important to serve nuts, or am I just focusing on the wrong thing? Well, here's how I'm going to deliver the nuts. So like I said, I'm going to be cool like you.
I don't give a fuck who you are. You can be King Kong. I don't care. You know?
Denzel said it best. King Kong ain't got shit on me. Training day.
Hey there, sir.
At least look at the vomit.
Okay. You inspect the vomit.
And then I make him feel like shit about himself.
In
a kind way. There is such a thing.
There's a way to make someone feel terrible.
It's like, hey, dumbass. That was a nice job you did there. Like when people fall off the bar. When people fall off the bar,
yeah,
like, you stuck the landing, didn't you? You know, shit like that. You know, puking on the floor probably only happens like maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
That's how I'll react if I see somebody puke. I go, hey, it must be our quarterly puker, huh?
So it's me doing things I've never done before.
Okay. Nice,
that's awesome.
Outside the house and experience.
How long ago was this?
This was a couple. This was like right around COVID? Oh, yeah, it was actually during COVID.
COVID.
Why he looked like that. He's like, okay, why you want a bartender in my bar, COVID guy?
I think that's why he even let me film, because he wasn't allowed to serve alcohol. So he's like, all right, you can film in my place. And, like, he kept telling me, I'm not allowed to even touch the spouts or the draft things that you pull.
Not even with gloves?
He's like, if you touch those, if you touch that, that is a fine, a $10,000 fine
what?
For me.
So
I was like, all right, I won't touch the thing.
So we just like timing.
We just talked like philosophically about bartending. That's why I was asking those questions. Like, oh, what if somebody's...
Wow, that is sick.
Great episode.
Yeah, yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah, check that out. Where can they find that one?
That's on my YouTube channel, Eric M. Simons YouTube.
All right.
Was it Eric M. Simon?
Yep, Eric M. Simons.
Right. Simons.
Yep.
Hey, man, because people put Simon and forget the S.
Yeah.
It's totally a different person, though.
They might get a little cartoon.
Have you ever Googled your name?
Oh, I have a bit about Googling myself. Really? There's a guy that...
How long have you had that bit, sir? Because I have... No, I'm kidding. No. It's parallel thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Parallel thinking, people. It's a completely different bit because he has a different name. So guess what? It's a different result.
Yeah, there was another Eric Simons that was squatting at a company headquarters, and like he got arrested for it or got found out, and it made the news.
Wait a minute, that wasn't you?
Eric, I'm saying, no.
That sounds like some shit you
would
have done.
Yeah, if I could, I would. I just wasn't smart enough to work at that at that corporation.
That's the thing about jokes. That's, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Wait a minute, do you remember when it was a trend when people used to like hide inside of stores?
Yeah, that's still...
They still do that?
Still
they close and seal everything?
Yeah, they...
No, they don't steal, but they just be in the store.
Just to see if they can... Yeah, if they can hide from the workers there long enough for the lights to be shut off and the doors locked. Like, now I'm in here.
I remember that, but what the fuck?
But the job that I have, I'm in stores when they're closed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be there.
No.
It's scary. Creepy. It's creepy. It's
creepy as fuck.
The stores make weird-ass noise.
Not to be my job going down the elevator.
One time, somebody left the radio on, like, not loud, but just low enough to... And I heard talking. I'm like...
I think I'm going to film my shit at the elevator. It's like a creepy-ass
movie. Oh, your elevator is creepy as hell.
Creepy as fuck. Yeah.
He has one of those elevators at his job that...
I got a couple.
You gotta close the thing.
Can
I do the sound effects?
I got two. One's a freight elevator that's like the demon drop.
Right, fuck both of those.
The other one, you gotta close like this. Then you push a button and then it moves.
No, I'm cool on all.
Does it have a crank?
You gotta hold. No, you gotta hold the button though.
No.
Okay.
It sounds like that.
Nope.
It's old as fuck.
Nope.
What I'm saying.
Nope.
I guarantee people died at my spot, yo.
One day you're going to get on there, it's going to be a dude that is not going to be in color, and he's going to be like, what floor?
The fuck?
How about, I just came up with a movie idea. We can all be at Hellevator.
Hey, that's it.
Fucking sign me up.
Spooky Hellevator.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
No.
This isn't a normal elevator. This is a
Hellevator. And I'll be a part
that
of it.
That has to exist already.
Only if you film during the day.
Google it. Yeah,
I will not be a part of any nighttime production.
Yeah, fuck all that noise. Yeah. Especially that place, dude. It is creepy.
It's creepy.
Fuck. Yeah,
Wait, you said you won't be a part of any nighttime productions, but your name is Midnight Paco.
Well, I'm talking about as far as the Hellevator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, not that shit.
Yeah. So, are you a fan of Clerks?
Oh yeah,
I bring it up to everybody who likes to do like production type shit. You know?
Oh,
because that's the ultimate.
Yep.
Do it your goddamn self.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like
yes.
That is minimal location, all about fucking like the audio conversation. You know what I mean?
Dialogue.
It's all about dialogue. Yep. Yeah. And it's in black and white. It ain't even in goddamn color.
Yeah. Doesn't you have to worry about
what I mean?
The color
so it's
aspect.
Minimal location, little like characters.
Yep.
And it's all about dialogue, basically.
Those are the keys. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of stuff I want to make. I want to make low budget, so I can, you know, because I want to write. I want to be in it.
It's
like that's a level of to do that much. Since I'm not like a household name, I have to be the guy making it happen. So yeah.
Connections though, because if you have locations,
it's
about like you said, you have a bar. So if you know somebody who has a bar, you can actually film scenes.
Arcadia
in the bar.
Grill, maybe.
Bam. There you go.
Shout out to Arcadia Grill. Yeah. Shout out to Kyle and his family.
That's a good transition. Let's talk about that because that's a spot that you know we got to perform at.
Yeah. What days do you do the Arcadia?
Wednesdays, 8 p.m.
And where is it located?
Arcadia Grill, downtown Canton, Ohio.
It's a nice spot.
Right
it's
across
nice
from the field.
Yeah,
right
it's a nice location. It's right in the mix of shit.
Yeah.
Right in the heart of it all.
I see you changed up the setup inside.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank goodness because, you know.
You didn't like performing right beside the bathroom?
No, I was okay with the bathroom. Yeah, I just wasn't okay with the TVs.
TVs
are
not a problem anymore.
TVs, boy, when you're in a location and there's TVs going on and no, I mean, even if the sound's off, if there's anything playing, it takes away from anything on stage.
Yeah. You can't
anything on stage.
You can't have that. You know, it has to be you know, the performers are there.
Yeah.
They are the entertainment, and, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get swept up in the drama on the TV. I'm like, how are the Golden Girls going to get out of this one?
Right. Shit. And I how mean, many dudes did Blanche sleep with?
Classics, yo. Classics.
Yeah. So, and so basically, that's cool. The Arcadia, I performed there. I love performing there.
I miss the Desert Inn, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, the Desert Inn was really sweet, too.
Nice R.I.P. background. That shit look good. That look good.
Does the Desert Inn still exist?
Still exists. Just Kyle bought Arcadia.
And
he was the beating heart of that operation, of the comedy there. And it's like, I would rather take the guy. I would rather take the guy.
Yeah.
I'd rather take that person, that spirited individual that wants to make comedy happen, than just that location.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, at least he accommodated and understood that the TVs were an issue, and that you guys moved into a different location, you know, kind of like just moved it over and made it like dedicated area.
He is dedicated. Yeah, Kyle has the best attitude, the best way to work with people.
Although, even though it's a dedicated area, if there's a game on and that shit's popping, that shit's going to fill into the goddamn comedy. So you need to cut off all TVs. Regardless, if you got comedy night, it's comedy night.
Yeah.
Bye, sports fans. I'm just saying, because it's the time, boy. Football's popping. You got Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. But it's on Wednesday.
What do you mean? Okay, they got basketball.
Basketball. Oh, no.
Basketball's every day.
Yeah, but you do your show on Wednesday, and we're getting into the winter time. It's football.
Football, boy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm ready for these winter.
I'm just saying, TVs need to be off when any show is popping.
Yes,
is what I'm getting at. Is that it ain't about the plays. I mean, shout out to Kyle and them doing
shout
thing.
Out to Kyle and his family.
Shout out to you for, you know, doing
shout out
thing.
To Eric Simon.
Because, look, it's all about you, and you're young in the game, but at the same time, like I said, your daily blog was one thing.
Sweet.
You know, your suit. Rocking that bitch.
Yeah, you know what?
We gotta talk about that because
this guy was rocking a suit, doing open mics, and he, you know, and what it said to me is he understood the assignment.
Yeah,
that told me that he was serious about his craft. He dressed for it. He took it serious.
There's not too many people you see like Daniel Myers, comes prepared all the fucking time,
dressed well.
And seeing you in a suit was one of those things.
You
was one of those deals where you came and I told you, if you're going to rock a suit, iron that bitch. Make sure it's tight. And you're going to go on stage in a suit.
Yeah.
This guy looks nice, dog.
Eric used to grab his suit, balled up in his car, and just threw it on like, it's comedy time, baby. Man. Like,
I have one good suit, and the other suits are, like, not so good.
Dude, that's the problem, man.
He used to get dressed like Superman.
I'm a t-shirt wearing motherfucker. I keep them in rotation, so
my thing is this. Wear a t-shirt and jeans, you know, if you're doing a comedy show. But, you know, like, I don't know. My thing is, like, if someone's paying you to come see you and they made arrangements, separate yourself from the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, see, the problem is I wear merch a lot. So I'm either.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm either in a hoodie or a t-shirt.
It's a Midnight Paco.
It's Midnight Paco.
And that's dope.
I'm a walking advertisement. Dude, the other day, just yesterday, I was going to wear a Tommy Hilfiger hoodie. And I put on a Midnight Paco.
Nice.
Why the fuck am I wearing Tommy Hilfiger?
I get it. But my thing
is. You see what I'm saying? And I know people out there don't get it, but I mean. If you're trying to do your own brand and you're trying to rock your own shit and people look at you sideways like, who the fuck, why are you wearing? Who else is going to wear it? If I don't support me, who else is going to do it?
Yeah. But my thing is, I'm Midnight Paco wherever I go. Like, you see this?
So who's Midnight and who's Paco?
Well,
there's the only thing we can say.
Is Midnight Paco like the spokesperson?
It's
like,
an entity.
Like the Tony Tiger. Like, is he going to pop out at some point and be like, Midnight Paco.
That's a good record.
Only thing we can say about Midnight Paco is he's a straight killer.
Straight killer. And life happens, and it comes out of nowhere, Eric.
Yeah.
And you don't realize shit until it fucking is right there in your face, and you're just like, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not Midnight.
It's a weird connection.
I'm not Midnight. He's not Midnight.
I'm not Paco.
Okay.
But Midnight Paco.
But it is an entity that is a killer.
It's a killer entity. And you said life sneaks up on you like in the night, right?
It's crazy. So it's
like, man, life is like a Midnight Paco. It sneaks up on you.
And it was something that, trust me, when I say I wanted nothing to do with this.
He fought me with it.
With the name?
with anything. With the entity and the name.
He fought me, and I'm like, yo.
With the entity and the name. Like, the whole existence of the name probably shouldn't even be here because of the whole situation that it occurred.
But he fought me.
I'm like, everything is interesting. For a reason.
And it's kind of funny. You look like the one that's questioning it all in the
yeah, I am. Like, you look confident
in it. You're like, you're like stone.
I'm sorry, my artistic skills aren't the best.
No. I don't know if it's not. I just don't. To me, it's like, this guy's like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
And you're like, yeah, this is happening. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. This. And I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. So Midnight Paco is an entity in the force. And Justin and I together are Midnight Paco.
Yeah.
And this is something that, you know, I'm proud of.
100%, man.
I think, you know, like, in my life, I did a lot of incomplete things. And I feel like, you know, my children, I did a great job.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Right.
And I'm proud of Midnight Paco.
Yeah, 100%.
That was cool.
And, well, the way I look at it, man, is we did it because it's something, because we'd be on the phone having a conversation. It's like, this is a podcast. Really, it's a podcast. Because we're talking about other things. Because the main thing is, and I hate to take away from you real quick, but...
I like this.
You're getting a little behind the scenes, but... We started off basically as friends. We started talking behind the scenes about comedy and our situation. And day one, basically, you'll talk about what we went through, going through Funny Stop and dealing with comedians and
open mics,
sets and open mics and how to be and, you know, the etiquette and everything with lights and running lights and everything. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things where, shout out to Hot Breath, Joe Byers. Nobody else has a podcast out there unless... You know, to find out about these things.
And yeah, so it's talking about comedy and
comedy and itself. And then then we would just talk about anything throughout the day or throughout society or timestamp anything interesting going on in the election or whatever the case.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just become a platform too that we can offer anyone in the Cleveland area that's doing anything.
Or anywhere.
Doing comedy. Obviously, because we've had other people, because we've had Joel Byers himself. On our platform, and he's out of Atlanta, and he's been doing comedy for a lot of years, and he's had interviews with hundreds of comedians.
And to be honest, you know what? You know, Eric Simon himself, like ourselves, we experimented. Like, he's going through the ups and downs of hosting. It takes to run a show.
Yeah.
What it takes to book comedians. What it takes to, you know, to have a relationship with these places that, you know, that you're going to do the comedy out of, he wants to, he can offer that information too.
And I want to speak on him real quick because he's since he's young in the game, and it's one thing because it's, we came in at 46, you know, in our 40s, whatever the case, and we have an idea of what we are, but he came in, he's doing everything. He's doing one-liners, he's doing stories, he's doing crowd work. He's
doing different jokes every set.
Every set he's doing, he's writing constantly, you know what I mean? So this is somebody that's putting in work, you know? Yeah. And from somebody that's doing the same material, and you get a comment, you know, a little bit about yourself, like, why am I doing the same shit, and this guy's, you know, but...
It was a different approach.
100%. 100%, and that's the beautiful thing about comedy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the understanding of this art form, is that it takes 10 years to find your voice, they say. I think we came in the game late. We have a voice. We know what we want to talk about.
Right.
We've been doing the same thing since we started. You know what I mean? We can do one-liners, but that's not what I like to do. I like to tell stories. I like to talk about my life. This is what I do. You came in unsure with a bunch of different ideas, and you're trying them all out. And to be honest, you succeeded. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got one-liners a hit.
And multiple ways he's doing it.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So it's awesome how you're slowly creating. Just stay on this path.
Cool, yeah.
You know, consistency is the key.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm sure you've seen within the game, like I said, we've had people on the podcast who've been doing it when we started, and they're no longer doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
here's the thing. It's like, I got into the game, and, you know, and I'm grateful of Justin because he had an idea. He did research on how to do it and pretty much how to build a set. My techniques and my my abilities and my is a little different from
definitely,
you know.
But it works.
But what I'm saying is, it was like you, because I was going up there. Remember, I didn't want to do different. I didn't want to do the same joke all the time. I was bored with it. I brought props and things, and I was just I just wanted to be funny.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make people laugh.
Yep.
I never claimed to be funny.
Right.
But I claimed to know funny.
Yep.
And I got laughs.
Yep.
And I prided myself, and I always tell everybody, Justin and I, we never went on stage with notepad. We never went up on stage with looking at our phones.
Nope.
We never did that.
Nope.
Even on open mics, we never did that.
Nope.
So that was what I learned from Justin. Like, okay, we're going to build our set 5 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. I was just doing 5 minute sets. Somehow my sets connected with material. And I think I got a solid, I believe I got an hour.
I believe it. Hey, you should do it at Arcadia Grill sometime. I'll give you the hour. No joke.
See, that's
however much time you want.
I mean, and my hour could be my hour. My hour could be my hour with material. Plus, if I want to do some filler, if I wanted to ask questions or look around the room. Well,
ask the audience, like, what's your favorite snack candy that you keep in your car?
That's my hour if I want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Cordell has such a funny segment about foods and eating and everything that I sent him a photo of all the foods I keep in my car. I'm like, how does this compare? Like, you rated me on it. You're like, that's not bad.
No.
I was like, this is kind of bad. It was a lot of food.
Yeah, some healthy shit.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice
products.
It was
water,
nice
nuts.
Yeah, great
protein.
Nuts, you know, a lot of healthy shit.
And I'm like, I got Pepsi.
I'm like, this is good, Eric, but where's the powdered donuts? Where are the fruit snacks at least?
Yeah.
No fucking Skittles? What is this?
What?
No, but it you know, and that was hilarious. That was hilarious. No, but okay, so basically. And I'm not bragging or anything like that. But like Justin said, with Hot Breath, our show, anybody that's getting into comedy, between our two shows, it will help you like find a direction on what to do and things like that. Because, you know, like not saying that Eric's way was wrong.
No.
But he came in the game. He had ideas. He wanted to do something. He's doing different material every night. He's doing this. He's trying this. He's doing this. He's putting on shows. I mean, all of that's great. And he's been consistent at it. But, like, you know, after 5 years, this is I mean, I do what I call Corey predictions. You know, Corey's a nickname of mine. And one of my predictions is like, after 5 years, you're going to say it all boils down to this.
What? Yeah.
What do you mean exactly?
Like, okay, so you came out. This is what I observed. You came out.
I mean, you've done it all.
Yeah, you've done. I'm doing comedy.
You've done it all.
I'm doing
so far,
different things every night. I'm working on
that's
low
why
material.
You're here.
Okay.
I'm working
to
on
be
low
honest,
material.
That's why you're here. Okay. It's because you've done it the fuck all. Wow.
I'm working on a low material. I'm doing this. I'm putting on shows. The reason why I'm putting on shows, I get to express myself and then work on some more material. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm doing improv shows and this, that, and other. You're doing a lot of these things. You're going to film things, and then 5 years down the line, you're going to be like, "Damn, I did a lot of stuff, but it all narrows down to this."
Yes, I get that, and my hopes are that it narrows down to films and the creative works I want,
and that's perfect. Yeah. And you're going to understand everybody's aspects. It's sort of like on my job. I'm a trucker by trade. That's my profession. And, you know, in order to be a successful trucker, if you're not doing it yourself, you work for a company and the company establishes routes and things like that. And establishing routes, you got to have someone that establishes routes, schedules, makes the schedules, and also do disciplinary actions if necessary.
Oh.
And so what I'm saying is, when it comes down to it, you're going to do, your end game is what?
Write and act in...
Okay.
Low-budget comedy indie films.
Okay. Well, okay, so you're writing and you're acting in your films. So you're going to have a perspective from the actor standpoint because you've done it. You're going to also have a perspective from the comedian standpoint because you've done it. You understand what I'm saying? Like you've actually putting in the work,
so you know what to expect from these individuals,
and you know what they're you can somewhat know what
the mentality is.
The mentality of it is to be an actor, to be a comedian, to be a writer, to put on shows because you've done it all. I mean, you're going to probably continue to do everything, but or if you
that's like oh, sorry, go on.
No, but I'm just saying, like, one day, okay, so okay, I've been driving for 10 years. And I work for companies, I never worked for myself, but I realized that in this business, the way you make money in the trucking business is either you work hourly or you have your own business. Not jumping in from every company chasing the money or this, that, and other.
Contract work.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line, you have your own or you work hourly. That's the way you make some money. And that's the synopsis of, in my experience, like, you either do those two routes and you act it, versus, like, I know I'm jumping all over, but I'm trying to explain it to you the best as I can. We get these so-called bosses that's going to give me schedules and disciplinary acts about my driving, but they never drove a semi.
Right.
Versus you directing a movie.
Who's done every position.
Yeah.
And basically, you never did comedy.
Yeah.
You never wrote a comedic script.
Yeah.
You never put on a show. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, there's a reverence when you do it that you then have for that thing.
Yeah.
And please excuse me. I'm sorry, everybody. Thank you for walking down my ADHD brain.
This corner path.
I mean, I'm sorry. God made me this way. And I'm sorry for doing that.
I do that too, man. I go off on tangents to try to explain.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep mental notes of, like, hey, we could get back to that topic. Because you guys have brought up a lot of really interesting things.
So go ahead and spew you, because I got some. Before you do, I want to say, because I'll forget. You know, I'm ahead and I forget things. That's why I like Clerks, because I think about what you're thinking about, and the end goal is a movie. Now, you know all the comedians you have in your at your disposal who could act in such roles for said film.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? So it's all about creating that final draft and putting it in production. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Because there's people, shout out to Javon Bates, shout out to Javon Bates and Anthony Bates, Anthony, you know, he's just out there doing things, putting together movie Anthony Phillips, I'm sorry.
That's Tony?
Yes, Tony.
Okay.
Putting together films, you know what I'm saying, because of people they have around them that are willing to put together these characters.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They develop these films and they have people around them in this area. They ain't got to search out.
No.
You know what I mean? You know a lot of people within the comedic realm to fill a lot of roles.
Yep.
Think about people you know. We have Patrick Madison on. He's a complete character.
Yep.
In himself. You know what I'm saying? I'm a pothead all day. Or you could put me in any role because I'm not fucking. You know what I'm saying? So there's things that you can do with the talent you have around you. So I'm just putting that in your head now. Just because people, you know, people think worldwide, this and that. But when you're sitting down to write something, even if it's a skit, you can say, oh, this person would be perfect for that role. Oh, shit, I got this person. He'd be fucking perfect for that role. You know what I mean? So it's
100%.
It's one of those things where you have a lot of people at your disposal, and we're all young in this area that we'd love to just get out there and talk some shit and do something on film.
And let me just say this, man. And, you know, I haven't been in any roles yet, but I'm going to say, like, you know.
Yeah, you have. D-Hawk's started
doing I've been in skits. I've been in skits.
Represent.
Yeah, shout out to D-Hawk. But I haven't been in any movies is what I was saying.
Gotcha.
And you know, I'm going to say that, you know, and I'll say it on this show, based on his shows and his productions that I've seen so far, sign me up because I'm...
All right.
You know, I'm down and I want to be a part of something that somebody has integrity about because I got integrity. Everything that I do, I try to have integrity about it. So it's like I don't like to be a part of no slop jobs, no, you know, fly by night, some you know, people that don't have integrity about their work.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Slop Job would be a good name for a film, though.
Slop Job?
Yeah.
I mean, like, but I don't know if I want to be signed up for that one, but send me the script. I'll check. Give me a slop job. I got to see what my role is, dog. I mean, Slop Job.
I'm just saying, like, even if he is titled Slop Job, I know, you know, it's going to be done right.
Yeah. It's going to be good production.
Yeah, it's going to be done right.
Oh, well,
all
right,
so if you can recap anything, I mean, if you what do you want to, like, rebuttal or talk about anything?
I'll go off what you just said. Okay. Exactly, and I'll tie that back to kind of the Genesis story that I was initially talking about.
Go for it.
Yeah, when I always loved making filmed content, stories, and then when I started doing the Eric Leaves the House, that kind of docu, having fun with a circumstance or a thing that I've never done before. Mm. And then when I jumped into comedy, because there was comedy, stand-up comedy happening right nearby where I live. There was stuff happening at the Pitina Arts Center with Lydia putting all that on,
okay.
And then there was Crackpots. So I started coming around to those and joining and started doing the comedy, and it was so much easier to just get up on stage and do comedy as opposed to making a film or something where there's so much more legwork and all that. So I like that aspect of comedy. You just come up with the idea and then you execute it on stage. Mm-hmm. Whereas making a film or something, you gather the props, you gather the actors. But then in doing comedy, I still love the idea of I'm meeting all these people now that I can put into these films.
Yeah.
Additionally, coming up with new ideas from just, like when you're doing stand-up, your mind is always on.
Mm-hmm.
And now through doing stand-up and some of the other avenues that have branched out from doing that, I love the idea of being, again, going back, bringing it back to video and filming to make clips of it, stand-up clips.
Yep.
To make improv clips, to make all that, to have now a portfolio. So if someone does look me up and maybe wants to donate to a film or something, well, who is this guy? Well, wait, he's got stand-up clips. He's got improv.
Yeah.
And so to me, again, like it all kind of like flows upwards to that. So yeah, it all kind of connects.
Nice.
Yeah. You put that on your website?
It's all on my website.
Which is?
EricMSimons.com.
EricMSimons.com. So who are some of your comedic influences?
Yeah, since you got into it, kind of like in a, because you don't sound like you're a true comedian. Are you a true like did you always want to do comedy, or is this something you just found as an avenue to get to where you want to go?
You know what? It was something I never even thought that would be me.
Okay.
Like, I always enjoyed it. I grew up watching Comedy Central. I love Dave Attell. He's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
I mean, more current Nate Bargatze. I think he's great.
Okay. Famous or unfamous, it don't even matter.
Yeah.
And so I was like that, but I never really thought, like, I don't know if I could go up there and do that.
Right.
Okay. Until you just go up there, until you just jump in and do it. Oh,
that's
really?
Different. Yeah.
I always liked, or I was always more like, nah, I need to come up with the idea and film it and make it happen.
Well, that's what they all do.
Yeah.
I mean, I always wanted to go up there and just talk my truth.
So, any filmmakers that influence you, or
yes, Danny McBride I mentioned earlier. He filmed a short or a low budget feature called The Foot Fist Way, and he just came up with the idea, starred in it.
Okay,
and it's so funny, and then that got on Will Ferrell's radar, and now he's doing all these different movies and shows.
Nice.
I like the Duplass brothers, or Mark Duplass. He made a bunch of mumblecore movies. That was kind of a do-it-yourself filmmaking movement that happened about a decade ago.
Okay, what's the kid's name that made Kids?
Yeah,
Harmony Korine. Is that Harmony Korine?
I think so.
I don't remember, but fuck, good pull. I think you remember Kids? I mean, you're younger. You remember Kids?
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking the wrong thing.
What I like the fuck
it was. Yeah.
That one.
It was
a yeah.
Debate. I got no legs.
I have no legs.
I have no legs. That scene?
Yeah.
You remember what we're talking about, right? Kids. You don't know what we're talking about?
Don't, no.
Oh, shit,
yeah.
See, I think you got the name right.
No. I'm like, you don't know what the fuck. Bring that shit up.
I think you got the name right. What was his name? Kids. Harmony, what?
I thought it was Harmony Korine. I've never seen the movie, but I know the name.
You've never seen the movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard his movies are really weird.
That movie.
Actually, while you're pulling that up, I'm going to pull up some. I have a list of like my own influences. You forget sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I got you. What was that? God, what was that one movie?
No, that wasn't him.
No, what was that one movie that I'm thinking about where the...
Gummo?
The dude who has... He's like him and his chick are in the heroin.
Trainspotting.
Nope. Fuck. And his mom's always watching that fucking show. It was like a God, what is
Requiem
it?
Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah! Requiem for a fucking Dream!
Yeah.
That ain't the same guy, right?
No.
Okay, who did Kids? Because that's still kind of a fucked up, like, little... Requiem for a Dream is a fucked up... Hey, that movie's a good movie, but, like, when you come to an ending, that is not a good ending.
Yeah.
you were correct.
I think he got it right?
Yeah.
So he knew the director, but never seen the movie.
Right.
How'd that happen?
Because he's a filmmaker.
That's crazy,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, just knew the name. Yeah, it's one of his... More
I mean, trust me, the movie is... But I mean, that's just the scenes I remember. The one dude's like, I like to fuck virgins.
Yeah, everything
the
I know.
On the subway, I have no legs.
From what I've seen with Harmony Korine, it was like too chaotic and too... What the heck is going on? And
okay.
I've never actually given him a chance, though, but maybe I should.
I mean, the movie is good. It's just... I mean, come on. You think about it. When we watch the movie, I'm probably around that age. So you got 14, 15-year-olds in the movie, technically, mm-hmm. talking about fucking is mm-hmm. what it comes down to, which is reality.
Sure.
I mean, that's just how life is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, you don't think about it and portray it like that, but that's really what it looks like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, but people don't want to see it. And you see it, and it's one of those deals, because I think the movie's all about AIDS, right? When it breaks down.
Kids?
Yeah, because somebody contracts AIDS throughout the movie or some shit, unprotected mm-hmm. sex or some shit. But it's a thought-provoking movie. And it's hard to make movies like that, man, because you,
mm-hmm.
to come up with a concept and put it in perspective, like the Joker movie, yo. Have you seen it?
I saw the first one.
Have you seen the second one?
I have not seen the second one.
What the, don't. I mean, I mean, you can, because I started watching it and I turned it off. And
that's what I've heard.
I mean, I got to continue watching it just so I can continue to see. I wasn't a fan of the first one, but it goes to show what somebody can do with an idea and completely fuck it up. So to have an idea and to, you know, put it out there with your own concept,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's tough. It's tough because you think one thing and people can think a completely other thing. When it comes to the Joker, it's one thing, but once you're on... Your own idea, it's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you can construct your own idea. When it comes to the Joker, there's kind of guidelines where you kind of got to follow, and if you fall off script, anybody who likes the Joker, they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when it comes to movies, like, because I came up with an idea for the Joker movie. I started writing a script.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
I started writing one. I have a half a script. Like we talked about, you say you got half scripts. Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
got. I also have a movie where I came up with a concept.
It's probably got like three words on it.
No, I got a good
two
good,
pages.
No. when it comes to like three scripts, pages. You got to come up with a synopsis and a whole idea and an outline of how you really want the idea.
I would love to see this.
Oh.
Go get it.
It's on my computer, dog. I got files.
Okay.
You talking about jokes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
Well, the files.
Is this anything like jokes?
I'm motherfucking be writing.
Okay.
I'm not right. writing. Right. It's just
we,
half
we
writing.
Got cabinets full of jokes.
I got cabinets full of jokes and half ideas full of scripts.
Half ideas. Okay.
Half ideas full of scripts. I like it.
Because you come up with ideas, and like most movies, they have good ideas and they fall flat. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So to come up with the synopsis and the whole idea of a movie. I had a movie with about, you know, me coming back from the military and blah, blah, blah. We had a video production class, so we had to come up with some shit. Mm-hmm. Script writing class. But what I'm saying is the whole idea is just the beautiful thing about script and production is you have so many opportunities and ideas. It's just trying to bottle that down.
Yeah.
But come up with the people you have with limited locations and be able to film it and put it out there with the best production. editing is a big idea. When we were talking about editing and ideas, my video production class, it was one of the best exercises ever because they gave us the same scene with different angles, and you had to come up with a clip of that scene. But so many people had different angles. You see what I'm saying? They used different angles from that scene to come up with the same scene. Because when you film a scene, you want close-ups, you want wide angles, you want certain angles of the watch, of the eyes, you know what I mean? Something can that has to do with the scenes. You know what I mean? You want all these shots. How do you put them together? You see what I'm saying? So it's a whole idea. If you can put together a movie and it can be complete shit just because of the shots you use.
Sure. Million ways for it to go.
Or that you put it together.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it's good luck. Good luck. Hey, because it's fun. It's fun. It's just all an idea, and it's I like the goals.
Yeah.
And I'm part of it.
And you know what? Like that kind of brings me back earlier to you were like we were talking about like how this all like feeds together for with comedy and making films happen. One thing I've noticed, like I really like connecting with the right people to make stuff. Because if you really want to make a film happen, like you can pull people together that you're kind of they're doing it as a favor, or you don't know them well and they don't know you well, but they want to be in a film,
right?
And that's fine. You can like make the thing happen. But if you get the right people together, it just like feels like you're like gliding instead of like trudging up that hill, you know?
I mean,
that's what I really like about the stand-up and the improv game. It's like feeling these people out, knowing their comedy, and then like like all like a big...
Tell us about the improv. Like, where can they come check your improv at?
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, every last Saturday at the Patina Arts Center, and I'm also throwing improv clips up on my Eric M. Simons YouTube and my website itself. Nice. So I'll try to think of what I was hoping I'd show you guys one, and I don't know which ones you guys would like. I got short ones. I got
improvs.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll put the links.
We got links coming.
I'll even maybe try if I can, if I remember. You know, when I'm editing, I'll throw in like a little one. If I'm able to download, can I download it?
Yeah, I'll get.
Trick or treat. Dad. You guys got any candy?
We do. Just 1 second.
Yeah. What are we doing?
I don't like the looks of this kid. I'm tired of eating floor waffles. You know what to do. We got a mug.
You've been eating my floor waffles? You guys know I can hear you talking about floor waffles, right?
This isn't about you.
This isn't about you, but stay right there.
Stay right there.
How full is that bag?
Oh, it's pretty full, I guess.
It's pretty freaking full.
All right, well.
I know I haven't been a big provider for you, but I think Robin Kids is our new way to get our bellies filled.
New choice.
I've been a great dad to you.
Debatable.
And Robin Kids is just the next step up for me.
I don't know. I feel really shady doing this in front of him while he's hearing us talk about murdering him.
Hey, what are you guys doing with those shovels?
You've been stealing my floor waffles, and now the only thing for us to live is these kids' bags of candy?
It's the only way.
All right.
He downloads.
Right there at the clap.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll try.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
try and put them up there just to have a little, so you can check them out.
So if anybody, can anybody get involved, or is it selected few? Is it tryouts or how?
Ooh. Yeah. So, honestly, selected few.
Okay.
Because that's what, like, I like working with people and understanding and, like, getting the feel of somebody.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now that we're on video or something, it's so much easier than kind of, like, fumbling through it,
right?
So yeah,
people
like
people that come prepared is a good thing.
Yeah, I probably should. Open it up.
Yeah,
more.
But I mean, if you're gonna film something, I mean, you can have a script, and then improv is off script because obviously when you're filming a movie, you're saying, okay, I want this scene, I want this dialogue. But when you're filming it and you're doing the dialogue, and if somebody says something that goes kind of with the scene, it's not like you're going to be like, cut, it's not directly with what I have written down, but if it rocks with it, that's improv. You know what I'm saying? It's the same damn thing, basically. So.
From a guy that's doing it, so like,
is that the same thing?
Well, me personally, yeah, I'm not, I would never be like super strict about like these are the exact words.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just like this is the feeling of where your character is in the scene, and like this is what they want to accomplish, and this is what I want to.
See, now you're really digging into personalities and fucking psychopaths, because that's people that are able to transition and become that person.
Yeah.
So, if there was a reality magic wand, what would you have happen with Eric Simon right now?
Oh. Yeah, if I could get a hefty amount of money to make a film, make that magic wand.
I mean, hold on. Do you need a hefty amount? Because we just talked about Clerks.
If I got a magic wand, then.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is.
Stack of money and bitches.
Facts! There it is.
I think we hadn't sworn until just now. I think I was the first. I probably shouldn't have sworn.
I mean, I probably dropped a couple of
Okay, well, good. You know, I don't want to be the first to swear.
Don't worry.
I mean,
you guys keep your comedy sets pretty clean, right?
I'm bored a lot. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, shout out to Pete, RIP Pete.
Shout out Pete.
The funny stop.
5 minutes clean.
5 minutes clean. So, I mean, I would always be borderline. I wouldn't cuss, but I'd talk foul shit. You know what I mean?
I did a nasty set last night.
Really?
Yeah, he's talking about
fisting. What'd you talk about?
Fisting, bitch. Are you gonna put my bit on the hell?
Yeah, that's like a teaser.
You gotta come and see it.
Let's go, but talk about that, yo. That's some shit that Cole Dowd don't talk about.
But I didn't use certain words.
No, he didn't use certain words. But when you boil it down, you know what I mean? So it's one of those deals where if I'm off script, I curse a lot. Mm. That's why I stick to the script.
Yeah, for the most part, I do clean comedy. But, you know, I mean, I could talk about, you know, different things, you know.
I prefer not to. Because I like to swear. So a F-bomb here and there and shit and ass is not a bad thing. It's not like I'm dropping like fuck this bitch. I like to fuck put you. Sorry, all these words I'm just dropping right now, people.
Man,
but
sorry, children.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is Midnight Paco's for the children.
At like 1:30 p.m. Sorry,
it's for the children.
Sneaking it in after kindergarten.
Yeah, you know the children.
I'm sorry, everybody, but. In my sets, I'm not like
that. He has
that.
A dirty mouth. Yeah, his mouth is dirty.
But that's why I go up with a script. And that's why I think about my comedy and I kind of write it out.
So it's premeditated cuss words?
No, because when I'm off, that's the only when we perform it at like other places that don't mind it for the most part. You know what I mean?
You're dropping that. The reality magic wand is scripts?
No. No, but not
a
movie.
In a movie.
You know what the reality of the magic wand would be? I think a handful of other actors who I really have good comedic chemistry with. Like, we can really play off each other.
Yeah.
Because that's what I feel like I'm gathering up and building right now through meeting stand-ups and meeting people in the improv. But, if I could magic wand those people and that connection that we can just play off each other immediately. That would be ideal.
That'll be dope.
Let me ask you this. I know we're getting close to, landing the plane and everything, but within your year and a half, you've done so much stuff. You've hosted, you've done all these things, and it's like you've already accomplished quite a bit. Like, how is it tough for you to figure out like what the next step is? Because we're still about 4 years in, and it's like in your mind. Like, are you, like, figuring out where you're going to go and how you're going to maneuver? Like, have you sent out, like, film to other, like, clubs to get booked? Like, are you even thinking about getting booked outside Ohio? Are you even, like, on those ideas yet? Like, I can see in your eyes, like, it ain't even a concept, huh?
And as far as stand-up, I just enjoy just doing the stand-up and doing it in the circles around here and everything. No, I'm not really... I'm not really hunting down people to get booked anywhere. I like it for like
building. I can see when I ask the question in your eyes, you're already like, what the fuck? No, this question ain't even.
I love performing new places because like it just like gives you like this boost of like creative, like, oh, I'll make fun of like this thing that's behind me this weird thing on the wall to the side or like just the atmosphere or like the feel of that club. Yeah. So I can enjoy that. But no, my end goal isn't to be a touring comic.
Okay.
As far as path and guide, yeah, I my plan is to get a really tight script finished that nice. Has just a couple of locations, just a okay. couple of actors,
yeah.
and start making the thing. I mean, I have a camera.
You can I don't care if I'm a garbage man.
You can always have a better.
If you need me as a garbage right. man, dog.
Can you be inside the can like Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah. Of course. I'm like, yeah. what the fuck? I don't care. What do you need me to say, dude? Like, I'm inside of this bitch.
Cordell
I'm
will then just like throw you into the sure. can, into the garbage compactor.
Whatever you need, yeah. man. I'm down with that vision, man.
I'll be like the shit that people throw out.
Yeah.
yeah. Whatever.
But yeah.
I'm down with that vision, brother. Okay. If that's right. What, okay.
I mean, it's never been easier. Or more accessible to make films
yeah. with
the tools and the video
editing. What I'm saying program. Is you don't need all that money. So It'd if you nice. Have an idea, put the script together, get these motherfuckers yeah. together, call me up, I'll do all my right. part, and we'll get this bitch going. All
and right. you know what? If Colin Farrell and Ryan Seacrest had a love child, you would have Eric M. Simon.
Oh, whoa. Shit! You see that whole episode.
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Yo, Jay, where can they find you at, baby?
Hey, everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
And I am the _great_COREE. That's where you can find me on Instagram, or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast. And right. once again, for the people, we'd like to thank you for joining us.
That's right.
And great episode, and I'm glad you came, and good luck to all your endeavors. Where can they find you at?
EricMSimons.com, or look up any of the social medias, Eric M. Simons.
We'll have all the links in the description, baby. Appreciate everybody. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.